You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to stetsonbaptistchurch.org. We're starting a new series called For Everyone, and man, I thought the best way to kind of start what we're talking about is to tell you two stories. Y'all cool with that? All right. Man, the first story is about a lady named Linda Peters. Linda Peters, you probably don't know who that is, and that's okay. I just learned about her the other day, too. So Linda Peters, in the 90s, she saw that there is a very large and vast issue with homelessness in Portland. Sadly, there still is, but man, she saw that. She saw the need, and what she decided to do was to start volunteering at some homeless shelters in Portland, and what she realized was that was not enough, that there was still a large population that were not being met just because there weren't enough people helping out in the issue and in the situation. And so what she actually did was she rallied together with some local businesses to start her own emergency homeless shelter in Portland. It still is there today. That's Linda Peters. The other story is about a lady named Pat Devani. And she actually was in California, and this was, again, also near the 90s, early 2000s. What happened was she saw that many veterans who had gone to war and come back were struggling to find their place back in society. And what it led to was many of them being in need of homes, of food, of water, of clothing. And so what she decided to do was she did not rest on the issue, but rather she jumped at the opportunity, and she grouped with some volunteers to help advocate for low-income houses for the veterans so that they could be taken care of and actually sustain some growth in being able to have money to support themselves and some housing. And so what actually her biggest call to fame was is that she succeeded so largely that there is actually what's called the Veterans Village of San Diego, which is a low-income housing area for the veterans there. And so, man, the reason I tell you these stories is because what happened here in both of these stories in different ways, and man, there's so many stories that we can kind of go to when we're talking about this, but what happened was these two people, they saw a need and they took action. They saw that there was a need of hey, there's a need for these homeless people that need to be taken care of, that need help, or these veterans that cannot fully sustain themselves and they need to be advocated for. They saw that need and they took action. And what's cool about their stories is it's not like we are blind to that. I'm sure you hear the word homelessness and you know that that's a problem. You probably actually have seen some homelessness in your area, or maybe you're driving down the street and you've seen something like it. And so it's not like you are just, this is an epiphany of, man, I didn't know homelessness was a problem, right? No, these are issues that everybody knows exist, yet it's these two people that took action, and there are many others like it in many different situations. So the reason I tell you this story is the reason that we're looking at them specifically is because what we know right now is that there is an eternal need. There is an eternal need for every person. It is the fact that we have fallen from what we were called to be, and what's called sin has affected each and every person. And so we see, everybody knows that there's this eternal need, whether you would call yourself a Christian or not, everybody sees the world and says it's not the way it's supposed to be. There's something off. There's just something wrong. We all see this need. And what we are called to do as Christians is to take action. We're called to take action. The series is called For Everyone. As we continue to walk through it, what you'll see is every week we're going to look at something or an aspect or a characteristic that is for everyone. And it would be inappropriate if we did not start with the fact that the gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for everyone. What does that mean? That means the gospel is for your family. That means the gospel is for your friends. That means the gospel is for your classmates. That means the gospel is for your neighbors. That means the gospel is for your mailman. That means the gospel is for your teachers. That means the gospel is for your coaches. But not only that, it also means that the gospel is for maybe those who you see are bullying others in school. The gospel is for your ex-boyfriend or your ex-girlfriend. The gospel is for your ex-best friend or ex-friend. The gospel is for the kids of the rival school that cheer so loudly against you on Friday nights. The gospel is for the waiter or the waitress that maybe seated you at a table for dinner the other night. And the gospel is for everyone. And I think we see this very poetically and awesomely in the book of Luke. And actually, the next 4 weeks, a whole 4 weeks, we're going to be in the book of Luke. So if you have your Bibles, if you brought your own, awesome. If not, there should be one underneath your chair. I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke 1. Luke 1. Man, if you are new to the Bible, Luke are different book titles, and you can find those in the table of contents if you need to. It's in the New Testament, so it's going to be more towards the back half. We're going to be in Luke 1, like I said. 1 is the chapter, and that's the big number. And we're going to be in verses 1 through 4. Those are the little numbers. And while you're turning there, I would like to kind of give you a little context of what Luke is. So Luke was written by, believe it or not, Luke. So who is Luke? Luke was actually a partner in the ministry of the guy named Paul. Who is Paul? Paul was a great person who actually wrote majority of the New Testament. And so half the Bible that you have is written by majority of this one guy named Paul. And so Luke was actually a partner with him in their ministry. We actually know that Luke was a doctor. And so he was a very educated man. And he wrote this book. And who he wrote it to is a guy named Theophilus. And we don't know much about Theophilus. We just know that that is who Luke wrote this to. So it's a letter written to this man named Theophilus. I'm telling you that because you're going to hear his name in these verses. And the purpose of this book is to tell the world who Jesus was. That's why Luke wrote what he did, was to tell the world who Jesus was. If you're still turning there, it looks like all of you're there. So I was going to say it's on page 498. If you're not there, that's where you should be. But I'm going to go ahead and read it for us, and then we're going to walk through it. It says this: "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught." Man, so what is Luke saying here? What he's writing to this man named Theophilus, he is saying, hey, many have told or shared about Jesus. Many have told you about Jesus. Many have sharing or telling others about Jesus. And some of these people are eyewitnesses who were actually there when Jesus was performing these miracles or these stories that were foretold. But some have actually just been passed down. Some are just heard kind of through the grapevine and through circles of tellings of the story of Jesus. So he's saying, man, many have told of these things, yet I thought it was good for me to come and share who Jesus is anyways. And basically he says, man, I did this because I am a follower of Jesus. And then he tells the Theophilus, he says, man, I'm doing this also so that you can know that what I'm about to tell you about Jesus is true. I want you to know the true Jesus. And so I'm going to tell you exactly who Jesus is. And why is this so important to me? And why do I think it's so cool that we get to look at this scripture? It's because Luke understood that he was called to share the good news of Jesus, even though so many others were doing it already. I mean, he started the whole book by saying, man, many are telling you of these stories, yet still I'm going to tell you again. Many have told you who Jesus was. Many have told you stories about Jesus, yet I believe it is my calling to share the good news. I believe Jesus has told me that I need to share this with you even so. And really what we see Luke doing is he is taking this calling of being a Christian seriously. He's taking his calling of being a Christian seriously, saying, I know what Jesus has told me, and I know that as a follower of him, he has called me to share his good news. So we started by telling you that the gospel is for everyone, but there's another message that I need you to hear tonight. The gospel is for everyone, yes, and you are its messengers. The gospel is for everyone, and you are its messengers. You are the people that have been called to share the gospel. You are the people that have been called to take the message of the gospel, to take the good news and deliver it to everyone. I love the way that one of my people that I listen to, he's a pastor out in Texas, he says it this way. He said, the gospel came to you on its way to someone else. Think about that. The gospel came to you on its way to somebody else. And what a beautiful thing that, like, think about that. The gospel literally came to you. You've been given the greatest prize of all, to know who Jesus is, to know what he's done, to been given the ability to believe in that and live your life the better way. But it didn't stop at you. It was on its way to somebody else. Does this mean, or does this cheapen the idea that you have been shared the gospel with? Absolutely not. What it simply means is the gospel is not stationary. The gospel does not stop with the people that it's shared with. What the gospel does is it meets you where you need it. It teaches you what is true, and then it tells you to go tell somebody else. The gospel came to you on its way to somebody else. Man, what a beautiful thing that is. I've also heard it put this way. Man, I think this is a great analogy, and it's really helped me. I want you to imagine something for me. Imagine that there is a disease that has infected 100% of the world. There is not a single person that is not affected by this grand disease. And the world doesn't know what to do about it. The world has no cures. And what it is the symptoms of the disease is that eventually you will die. Death is the symptom for everyone who has this disease, and every single person on the world has it. Now imagine you have been given the cure to this disease. You've been given the cure to the disease that the world doesn't know how to cure. You've been given the cure to the disease that the entire world has contracted and has, and they know I'm going to die. They've watched their friends, they've watched their families perish because of this disease. The question is, what would you do? Well, obviously, the first thing is, man, I'm going to take the cure, right? I'll even add this to the analogy. Think about it this way. The cure, you have unlimited amounts of this cure. It'll never run out. You know where it comes from. You know how to get more and more of this cure, and there's never a moment where you've thought, I'm going to run out of this cure. And what would you do? Obviously, you'd take it yourself. I'd do the same thing. Why wouldn't I? Man, I've got the disease too. I want to make sure that I'm not going to die. What next? What do you think? What would you do? Sorry, I didn't mention this. It's not rhetorical, so you can throw out an answer. Paige? Okay, you would tell others where to find the cure. Mackenzie? Okay, you'd share it with the whole world. Colin? Mass produce it, absolutely. Logan? Right. So yeah, you would take it, then you would give it to those close to you, then you would give it to everyone. I think most of you understand, yeah, that the answer is, man, if I'm not going to run out of this, and I know the cost of if I don't give it, I'm going to give it to everybody that I come in contact with. I'm going to go on the news and tell everybody I have the cure. Anybody that runs into me, I'm going to say, man, do you still have this disease? Guess what? I have the cure for you. Can I tell you that the most unloving thing that you could actually do is to keep it to yourself, right? Like, why would you? Could you think about, like, imagine keeping it to yourself? What's going to happen? Well, people are going to die from the disease. And then one day they find out that you had the cure all along. And the questions start to roll. Why did you not share with my friend? Why did you not share with my family member? Why didn't you share with me that you had the cure to this disease? The truth is, this is not just an analogy. This is a true story. This is what reality is. You are living in a reality where every person on this earth, including yourself, including those who have lived before you, including those who will live after you, have all been affected by the disease. And the disease is called sin. The disease is rebellion. The disease is brokenness. The disease is what's the root of all evil. And we've all been affected by it. Yet if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have been given the cure. You know what it is called and what will happen and what you need to do in order to be cured from the disease. Can I tell you something else? Man, it's not just this life. Man, in this analogy, it's only what's left of your life, you know? Pastor Dan said this. I know this is very Debbie Downer, but he said that the average age of living in America is 80 years. Many for you, you're like, well, I got 70 years or 60 years to go. So whoop-de-doo, right? But no, what happens is, man, if you got a disease, if this disease takes you out, man, that's okay. Well, I've missed out on a few years. The true reality is, man, we are sick for an eternity. That means forever. We are forever affected by this disease unless we are given the cure. And you have been. The cure is the gospel. The cure is the message of Jesus Christ, of what he did, that he came for you and came for me, and he died and he rose so that we could live the life that we were always meant to and be saved from our own brokenness, from our own sin. I told you this at the beginning, that Luke is a partner of a man named Paul, and that Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Well, Paul actually wrote about this exact thing in what's the book of Romans. I'm going to read it for you. It's going to be on the screen, so don't feel like you have to find it. It says this in Romans 10. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Boom. Bold. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It then goes on to say, how then will they call on him and who they've not believed? So, man, if I need to call on the name of the Lord, well, how can that happen if I don't believe in the Lord? And he says this, and how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? So he goes back further. Okay, well, they need to call on the name of the Lord, but first they have to believe in the name of the Lord in order to call on him. Well, for them to believe in the name of the Lord, well, they have to have heard of the name of the Lord. And he says, well, how are they to hear without someone preaching? So basically, again, he goes, man, they got to call on the name, but in order to call on the name, they have to believe in the name. In order to believe in the name, they have to hear the name. Well, okay, well, if they need to hear the name to call on or to believe in it and then to call on it, well, somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to tell them so that they can hear it. And he says, how are they to preach unless they're sent? So again, they got to call on the name. Well, to call, they got to believe, and to believe, they have to hear. To hear, they have to be told, and to be told, that person has to be sent. And then he finishes and says, it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Let me tell you, what Paul is doing here is he's looking at the people that are reading this. He's looking at those who he's talking to, and he is saying, if they need to call, and if for them to call, they need to believe. And if they need to hear to believe, and somebody needs to tell them, well, here I am sending you to be that person. If they have to be sent for them to hear, I'm sending you. How beautiful are the feet? How beautiful is the news that they bring? And really, I think what Paul is saying, what I'm asking you, let me see all your eyes. What I'm asking you is, if not you, then who? If it's not you, if you're not going to share, who's going to? Because at the end of the day, if we all look at the other person saying, no, that's your job, then none of us are going to do it. Man, we are called to share the good news of Jesus. I know sometimes that can be intimidating. And so I wanted to make it very, very easy for you. And I wanted to give you a tool. So one of the tools that we use at the church, it's one of my favorite things. It's called the three circles. Should be popping up. Yeah. Man, this is one of the easiest ways I could ever imagine sharing the gospel, because you could write this on a napkin in 30 seconds and share the whole story in about a minute. Man, what this is we start with a circle, God's design. So you put the word God's design, you circle it. And what this means is we were created with a specific purpose. God had a design for the world. He had a design for my life. He had a design for all of us. And it was good, and it was perfect, and it was pleasing, and it was exactly what it needed to be. But then we were going to create the word brokenness, and we're going to write the word brokenness, and you're going to circle it. What does it mean? It means, man, somehow we got from God's design to brokenness. And what is brokenness? Brokenness is just this idea that, again, you can look around and say, something's wrong. For some reason, people act inappropriately. For some reason, bad things happen. For some reason, I feel guilt and I feel shame, or I feel stress and anxiety. For some reason, there is something wrong with me. There's something wrong with the world. That's brokenness. And then you're going to draw an arrow pointing from God's design to brokenness to say that we got to brokenness somehow, and that way is sin. Sin entered the world, and that is the root of brokenness. That is the reason things are all messed up. I like to explain it this way. Sin is the idea of missing the mark. Sin is actually an archery term. And think about an archery. There's a bullseye, and there's a whole circles and many little circles. And in the middle is the bullseye with the red. And that's the target that you're trying to hit. A sin is when the arrow doesn't hit the little red dot. Doesn't matter how far off the dot you are. But if you don't hit that dot, that's sin. Sin is us missing the mark. It's not doing the things that we were meant to do the way we were meant to do it. It's not living in God's design. Many of us, the little squiggly lines you're then going to draw off of brokenness. What does that mean? It means that we, every person in this world, searches for the answer to brokenness in so many different ways, but none of them work. Whether it's success or attention and wanting to be the most popular person. Or maybe it's love, and you're trying to grab a love and attention from others and let them fill the void, them fill the brokenness. Popularity, wanting to be the most popular person around you or in your school, because the more popularity and attention you get, the more that brokenness is going to subside and become smaller until you're fixed. And there's so many things that we can search for, but none are going to work. Because there is no cure to brokenness in the world. The cure to brokenness is the gospel. You're then going to write the word the gospel, and you're going to circle it. And the gospel is the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, you can't fix yourself, but I can save you from sin. And he came and lived the life that we were always meant to. And he died the death that we deserve, because there is a penalty for sin, and it is death. And so Jesus came and he died so that we might be saved. And he rose, defeating death. Well, how do I get from brokenness to the gospel? How do I get from brokenness to God's design? It's repent and believe. We are to repent of what we are doing wrong. We are to repent of saying, man, I'm so tired. I'm sorry, God. I've tried to live my own way and it hasn't worked. We are to believe in the gospel. And what's a beautiful thing is as we complete the circle, we draw that arrow and we say, man, what is my life now? And life now is to recover and pursue. What does that mean? It means you now, because you have received the gospel, you have repented and believed in it, you get to recover God's design. You get to recover what you were meant to be the person you were called to be. And you get to pursue that. And that's a long version. And that was 5 minutes. And think about how easy this is to sit with a person that you know doesn't know Jesus and say, please, just let me share the most important thing to me.
man, I promise it'll take a minute. And you just write this out and you give it to him. You say, man, if you ever have any questions, please come to me.
Man, if you're in the room and you're like, man, I don't know if I believe this, but I want to. Man, please come talk to me. Come talk to one of our adult leaders. We would love to walk you through what that looks like to follow Jesus. Hey, I'm going to pray. And we're going to have a closing song. Man, respond the way that you feel, whether it's you praying, whether it's coming in and talking to one of our adult leaders. If not, man, I would ask you just to stand and sing with us. Let me pray.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.